The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
So glad you're here this morning on Find Your Phone Friday, 770-5633 to join in, 770-KMED. Email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. Read them all. Try to answer back as many as I can, but I always appreciate you writing in, good or for bad. Yeah, sometimes there's criticism in there, too, and okay, yeah, I get it. I get it. But at least I know how to spell Eagles. That poor mayor from Philadelphia going out. That just cracks me up, that story. But, well, of course, you know how much I pay attention to football, but I know a lot of people will be paying attention to playoffs this weekend. Who am I supposed to root for? Do you know? Because I just don't watch football. I don't know why. I just never got into it. The only thing I liked about football when I was growing up was that I had a chance to watch the Steelers. Watching the Steelers, I cared about. Once the Steelers really were no longer much of a force, I stopped watching or caring about football. It's just kind of the way I am. And I was a kid watching the Steelers back in the golden era, I guess, if you want to call it, the era of the steel curtain and the immaculate reception with Franco Harris. I think that was against Oakland, wasn't it, if I recall back in the day? Yeah, got him into the Super Bowl. I mean, I just love that sort of stuff. But and then as an adult, I just I get onto other things and, you know, it's like don't care about the games that we were playing as a kid as much for whatever reason. And you know, now we're talking about the political games, I guess, right? Anyway, the number here is 770-5633, 770-KMED. Ashland City Council voted earlier this week, and they're going to impose a new fee on new residential gas appliance installations. And they are doing this at the behest of a bunch of climate commie kids. Yeah, Ashland High School kids have been lobbying the Ashland City Council here for over a year. And the City Council, of course, I know that when I'm looking for advice on how to run my life, I go to high school kids, don't you? Yeah, that's what the Ashland City Council did this week when they have voted to impose fees on residential gas, natural gas appliance installations. Because, of course, it's about carbon. I'm wondering if anybody has had the heart to actually tell the climate commie kids at Ashland High School that they're also exhaling that poisonous, planet-killing gas, carbon dioxide. What are they teaching in science class in Ashland High School? Do they actually teach about the carbon cycle, about what carbon dioxide actually does in our world? And without carbon dioxide, no plants, no plants, no us. You really do wonder about this. I was watching some, I think it was maybe on Channel 5 the other day, in which somebody actually donated several hundred thousand dollars to help make up for the Ashland High School, for the Ashland School District's deficit. And, you know, that sounds really good. And then I'm thinking about it, all right, and then the Ashland High School District or the Ashland District ends up turning out the climate communism types lobbying the city council to end natural gas appliances. Now, the city council says this is not symbolic. This will actually do something. Although, to be fair, how many new houses are being built in Ashland? So maybe this is just something to placate the young communists and encourage them to think about, hey, man, we did something. We beat the man on this one. What do you think about that? I find that story so irritating that you would have a city council actually doing the bidding of high school kids who have no life experience, only know the climate communism which has been inculcated through their Marxist teachers. They've not paid any taxes, or probably have paid very few. I don't know how many of them are actually working. Who knows these days? It used to be kind of a rite of passage to be a young person working, and now I guess, you know, you're not supposed to work. I really do wonder about that.
Why is it that a city council? Well, maybe the city council just wanted to do this anyway, and it's much easier if you can blame it on the climate communism coming through the kids. The kids who, well, you know, it's like children are crying, hence we have to shred the Constitution. That's with the Second Amendment arguments that happen, right? You know, the kids start crying. Oh, children are crying, so we have to shred the Constitution, folks. That's what we have to do. That's the kind of world that I guess we live in right now. By the way, you know what the climate commie free is to install a natural gas appliance in Ashland? It's not insubstantial. If you want to put in a natural gas clothes dryer in your home in Ashland, it would cost $145.60. $374 if you want a natural gas range. Do you know the big one, though? You want to put a natural gas furnace in a new home in Ashland. You have to write a check to the city council for $4,118.40. And this is probably what on top of the $15,000 to $20,000 or more for the actual heating system itself. I don't know. Maybe it's about the money. Yeah, one of the city councilors says it's not a giant amount of emissions when you compare the number of new homes versus the existing homes, he said. But over time, the ordinance will assist with lowering emissions by encouraging greener construction, Backer said. This is in the Rogue Valley Times today. In his first meeting as newly elected councilor, Doug Knarr said that he met with proponents of the ordinance and was not an easy persuasion, but was ultimately won over despite his concerns that an additional fee would add to the city of Ashland's already lackluster production of affordable housing. Yeah, this is what our commies do in the state of Oregon. They go out there and they pass rules to make everything more expensive. But, oh man, we need more affordable housing. But let's also be honest. Does the city of Ashland really want affordable housing? No, it is pretty much a city of mostly elites. And maybe this is just a feel-good sort of thing. But yeah, they all voted for it. It was the first reading. So this looks like it's going to go forward here. And my concern, though, is that, you know, if the climate commie kids at Ashland High School really think that natural gas is such a danger to the planet and that we should stop natural gas ranges, they should be going out there and lobbying to rip out every natural gas range at every high-end restaurant in the city of Ashland, don't you think? Wouldn't that be the proper thing to do if you truly do believe what you have been inculcated in and you really want to get the revolution rolling? Every restaurant has to go to electric ranges. You know how many professional chefs would go to work at a restaurant with an electric range, with just an electric range? No, they all want the gas thing. They're kind of that way about it. But, you know, if you're serious, right, rip out the natural gas ranges. Maybe they should be charging RVT buses an extra fee, you know, the natural gas buses, the powered by clean, compressed natural gas. Remember the signs that were on the side of the buses? Maybe those buses aren't running anymore. I thought I saw some a few weeks ago. Now they have the hybrid, the electric hybrid, powered by hybrid electric, which means, you know, diesel engine with a Prius kind of drivetrain in it. There's such nonsense. Such nonsense. And the Ashland City Council goes along with the climate commie kid nonsense. Probably because it's a way they can do it. And maybe it probably really is more about virtue signaling than anything else. But how many new houses a year get built in Ashland? 3? Ashland doesn't want to grow. All right. The city just irritates me in general. Okay. And yet I know a lot of great people that live there. Anyway, so there we go. I hope the climate commie kids weren't wearing anything that, could be construed as having come from oil or natural gas, which would be probably practically everything. Probably the iPhone in their pocket needed natural gas to be made, the plastics and, you know, most of the car, if they had a car, you know, even their Tesla car, if they were given a Tesla Cybertruck to go. You know, to high school, you know, the family car. You need to have the family junker car you know, when you're driving to Ashland High School. As long as it's a Tesla car, it's okay. All right, I'll let it go. Like I said, it's like I laugh and yet I'm irritated at the same time that we actually have grown adults that sit around there and kowtow to numbskulls that have been, that haven't even graduated from high school yet. And guess what? Even if you're a smart kid at age 17 and 18, you're still a numbskull because you have absolutely no life experience. You have nothing. You have nothing to compare. All you know is that the carbon dioxide is killing us. It's like, okay, well, yep, you're breathing it out too. And by the way, if you're so anti-natural gas, maybe you should stop eating food also, because about 95 to 100, almost 100% of that food that's over in the produce section was fed with natural gas-based ammonia fertilizers. Maybe they should ban that. Maybe they should go down to the you know, the organic groceries. Well, of course, maybe the organic groceries are using cow poo or something. I don't know. But you can kind of see where I'm getting at there. You know, they're looking at this and, well, we've got to do something because SOCAN has been coming in and talking to us and inculcating us in climate communism. We must do something. So we're going to ban electric ranges. First, they came for the ranges, right? 22 after 6. This is the Bill Myers Show. We could talk about that. Anything else on your mind? There's other news, too. But, yeah, that's the one that kind of jumped out at me like a little irritating. A pebble in my shoe Friday, okay?
When you choose a contractor, how do you know you're getting the best?
I'm on 106.7 KMED.
24 minutes after 6. So we have the Ashland City Council kowtowing to the kids. And I know that when I want to know how to run the world, I go to little kids or people who haven't even graduated from high school yet with no life experience. But that's what we have this today with the Ashland City Council. We have Jim. Jim, you wanted to comment on this about the anti-natural gas appliance stance of the city of Ashland now. What are you thinking?
Yes. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
To you.
I'm doing well. Thank you. What's up?
I don't understand what's going on with these kids, why they're bothering to do this since Trump has signed the bill against the Green New Deal to drop it. So,
Maybe that's exactly why they have to do this, though, because the Ashland High School kids, the commie kids, going before the Ashland City Council, they're the resistance.
I don't know.
It could be. They're the resistance. Now, by the way, just because Trump goes out there and signs a bunch of executive orders doesn't mean that we're not going to continue to have the Green New Deal force-fed by our betters in Salem, though. Just keep that in mind, Jim, all right? Appreciate the call. Thanks for that. 770-5633. Tom's here. Hello, Tom. Tom, you're pretty close to the city of golden ticket green dreams. Ashland, you're in Talon. What's going on?
Yeah, actually, I live in the outskirts of Ashland. But yeah, if you really want to find out why the Ashland City Council is the screwball and all you have to do is go on the internet and put in Ashland, Oregon Climate Action Plan. If you put the words Climate Action Plan after the name of any city around here, Talent, what have you, you'll see pages and pages and pages of how they've been working in the dead of night and having all these different subgroups working. And they have organizations, they have groups of people, and they're coming up with all these climate action plans.
Now, it's really interesting you bring this up, because we talked about the climate action plans, too. All the cities have them. And the other aspect of this is that this kind of confirms some of my suspicion that you have the supposed adults in the room, the Ashland City Council members, right? They probably don't really care about this. They also know it will really do nothing and truly is symbolic. But it kind of throws a bone to the climate action plans that have been formulated in the past here. Do you think that may have something to do with it, or is there a deeper meaning behind it all?
Well, it is kind of like throwing a bone, but I mean,
hold on. Yeah, throwing him a bone, but if you're serious about natural gas, if you honestly think that natural gas and the carbon dioxide from natural gas is killing the planet, and of course methane, of course, is a very big naturally occurring part of life on planet Earth. You understand that part, right? But if you're serious, then wouldn't you yank all the natural gas ranges out of all of the restaurants, all of those big 3, 4, 5-star restaurants filling the city? Well, I mean, if you're serious about saving the planet, Tom, after all.
Well, that's the long-range plan. This is the short-range plan.
Oh, okay.
But if you go into the climate action plan, you'll find out that, you know, they want to quadruple, ten-tuple your electric bill and so forth and mm-hmm. so on. So then
as the city councilors talk about, oh, how much money you'll save and how much better it is for you and less problems for your lungs if you have an electric heat pump instead of a gas furnace, you know, those kind of things. So ultimately, when they quintuple the electric rate, then we're truly in utopia then.
Yeah, that's basically it. And, you know, you can't blame the kids. They're being, you know, they're having all this crap crammed in their heads from adults and so can and so forth. I mean, these people are out to, they're not going to be satisfied until we have a complete, total control police state. That's the goal of the Democrat Party. They don't believe in free anything except for free goodies from Uncle Sugar. But
yeah, well, but you understand, do they not understand that they'll be that their lifestyle, if you actually take what they are pushing to its ultimate conclusion, that they won't be living very well as adults?
Oh, yeah,
later
we'll all be living in a box in Tallinn.
I guess so. Thanks for the call. Let me go. I like that, Tom. I don't like it, but it makes me laugh. Hi, this is Bill. Who's this? Go ahead.
Good morning, Bill. This is Terry.
Hi, Terry. What are you thinking this morning?
Well, you know, maybe they should take or go through an economics or finance class, and I bet you probably 70%, if not more, have gas in their own house. So, you know, maybe they contribute some money, you know, for all the fixtures they have in their house into a kitty that goes to, I don't know, planting more trees or something.
Hmm. Maybe like an extra little tax when the kids come to school, they should have to.
That, you know, hey, this stuff costs money. And hey, if those kids have gas furnace or a water heater or a dryer, you know, hey, you know, if you're really into this, contribute some money like, you know, that they want everybody else to do.
Yeah. I look at the people who have the gas appliances right now, and I kind of look at them with a little bit of envy. Do you have an all-electric home? Because my home when I bought it was all electric.
Yeah, well, I'm in the county, and, you know, we have some propane and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Cooktop and stuff. And, you know, and even, you know, a lot of these guys like to push these on-demand water heaters, which are great in certain circumstances, you know. But now they don't even want these, you know, natural gas or propane on-demand water heaters. They want all electrics, which just is outrageous.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You know, when it comes to heat, the one thing you can say about electric heat pumps, especially when you have winters that are like 30 degrees, 25, like we've been having, you're never one of those people that gets out of bed in the morning when you have your heat pump and going, man, I'm gonna have to take some clothes off because I'm just too warm in my home. Nobody ever says that when you have a heat pump. Yeah,
right on.
A heat pump means you never have to say you're too warm in the winter. Although, I know my heat pump's old. I haven't replaced it yet, but... knock on the metal there. All right, let me go to line 3. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this?
Hey, Brother Louie.
Hey, Brother Louie. How are you doing? You're over in the city. How's life?
Yeah. I'm lucky. I got gas appliances. I'm grandfathered in.
Oh, good for
anyway,
you.
I wanted to mention something that I've heard you talk about before, is that, you know, where are we getting all this electricity? Is it nuclear? Is it coal-fired plants? Are coal-fired plants considered cheaper than natural or less polluting than natural or whatever?
I don't know if they're necessarily considered less polluting. Of course, they consider carbon dioxide a pollutant, which means that every single living item on the planet, other than trees, is, plants really, are carbon polluters when it comes right down to it. If you're going to take their argument to its conclusion here. I believe, though, that Oregon has forced Pacific Power to divest of coal-fired power coming in here. So I would imagine that we're buying a lot of course, really the only thing that's saving us at this point, Brother Louie, is that we still a huge amount of hydropower coming down from the Bonneville power plants up in on the Columbia. Okay. That's what's really saving us.
Wow, is that really going to do it? I mean, gee, with the electric cars and everything.
Oh, no, that won't be enough for the future. No, no.
That's what I'm wondering. Have they got a plan for where we're getting all this electricity that we're replacing what used to be considered clean energy, natural gas, you know?
Yeah.
Now we're going to replace that with electricity. Well, where's the electricity coming from?
Nuclear is not allowed. You know that in Oregon. Nuclear is not permitted in Oregon. Wind and solar will be the major growth. They're still continuing to do it. Now, in spite of the fact that wind and solar are intermittent and chaotic because it only works when Mother Nature deigns to give it to us, you know, that kind of thing. Then they claim, well, we're just going to put in batteries. And then, of course, batteries have an environmental cost. You can figure this. So when it comes right down to it here, Brother Louie, I think the plan is to continue to just keep doing what we're doing. And once they break it entirely, maybe they'll reconsider. Once they break it, once we are into more blackout seasons in a really, really hot summer or really, really cold winter, I guess then maybe they'll turn around, but probably not until then. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. It's 6:33. We'll catch up on the rest of the news here in just a moment. D.C. Swamp Update. That's better news this week. There's been a lot of better news coming out of Washington, D.C. than Salem, perhaps. We'll do that with Rick Manning.
This is the story of the one.
Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
6:39, D.C. Swamp Time.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights because I don't want to see.
What a week it has been. The D.C. Swamp Update, and I don't know if the swamp is actually getting drained yet, but it's probably not filling anymore at the moment, so I guess we could almost call that progress. Rick Manning is here, and he's the president of Americans for Limited Government. Welcome back, as always, Rick. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing well, and I will tell you, I'm going to not use the word drained. I'm going to say tamed.
Tamed?
Okay. I think the swamp is being tamed right now.
Okay. Because part of me was wondering if the Trump administration was being tamed. Like I had mentioned that last week with everybody trying to tame Tulsi Gabbard to get her through. I hope that, frankly, she says, yeah, I'm okay with Section 702, and then she kills it after she's in. You know, say one thing, do another. Why not?
Well, that would make her just like every other politician.
Yay!
And for once, that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, that's consistency, right? Consistency is what we expect, right?
But, you know, you think about it. I use the word tamed because Mark Zuckerberg, who spent $500 million in year 2020, with of Zuck Bucks around the country, subverting the
election process and essentially trying to make sure that it was not Trump.
Succeeding in doing so,
mm-hmm.
in states like Wisconsin particularly. You have now he's bent the knee. You have at the inaugural, you have Bezos, you have no friend to Trump. You have the guy who's the head of Google, no friend of conservatives.
Certainly not.
And so they are at least having to come and acknowledge, rather than fight against and say we're going to do everything we can to stop. They have come to acknowledge that Donald Trump is the single most important person on the world stage, and they better be on the right side.
I find it interesting that Bezos did this too. Zuckerberg, I think what broke Zuckerberg was frankly the assassination attempt. Remember what he was quoted as saying, guy's a badass, right? You know, it's the most badass thing I ever saw. And he's an MMA fighter. And I think that in some strange way, it's like he sees, okay, he's a tough guy. All right, I get this. And I think that I think he appreciated that. I think that's what broke Zuck on this. As far as Bezos, though, Bezos, of all the tech, of the robotic tech bro oligarchs, you know, that we have here, I think he's almost, maybe I'm being too generous, he could be considered almost one of the more humane ones. And maybe
I just remember the Amazon Web Services, which he owned, destroyed Parler because Parler had the audacity on Twitter. Okay.
Yeah.
He owns the reason he seems as he was less out front is because he controlled infrastructure that was used to destroy conservative websites and conservative speech rather than controlling speech. So, you know, I of all of them, he's the one I dislike most.
Oh, okay.
Because he doesn't have the gut. He didn't have the guts to go out and do it publicly. He just sliced her.
Well, he pulled the plug from behind the scenes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe. So, yeah. Point well taken. Point well.
Anyway,
I will.
Not too bitter about that, but it's kind of a, one of those. He's actually the reason why Dan Bongino started working on doing a whole parallel economy strategy,
mm-hmm.
because he knew if we were dependent upon Jeff Bezos, we were dead. So some things came out of what Bezos, the good that came out of what Bezos killing Parler in particular was people like Bongino said, we've got to start working on developing outside controlled infrastructure from top to bottom. And that's why you have Rumble. That's why you have a lot of different infrastructure tools that aren't controlled by the left.
And I've been talking to many of the people who run these alternative sites and such, and one of the big things they talk about is owning their own servers and not depending on Amazon Web Services to be able to stay in and stay on.
100% true. If you don't own your own servers, you're basically a vassal of the Amazon empire. Of course, Amazon Web Services got broken off, and you know, ostensibly is being run by somebody else now, but same crew, just different faces. The other thing that goes along the lines of that is we have the World Economic Forum meeting right now. And I never watch TV in the morning. I mean, I never watch TV in the morning. In fact, I rarely watch TV.
You know, I'll tell you what, let me play a clip from that here, Rick.
Okay.
Just one of them. And then I have a feeling you'll find it quite juicy. Something tells me that the shrimp at the World Economic Forum Shrimp Fest are less tasty this year, and this may be why.
I terminated the ridiculous and incredibly wasteful Green New Deal. I call it the Green New Scam. Withdrew from the one-sided Paris Climate Accord and ended the insane and costly electric vehicle mandate. We're going to let people buy the car they want to buy. I declared a national energy emergency, and it's so important, national energy emergency to unlock the liquid gold under our feet and pave the way for rapid approvals of new energy infrastructure. The United States has the largest amount of oil and gas of any country on Earth, and we're going to use it. Not only will this reduce the cost of virtually all goods and services, it'll make the United States a manufacturing superpower and the world capital of artificial intelligence and crypto.
It's interesting. Kind of schooled him like a boss, didn't he? In fact, you could almost say it was like WEFU, right? Maybe we'll...
Yeah, pretty much. It's a... but here, I mean, I've watched Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business Channel in the morning for a couple of last 3 days. And what's astonishing is she has the number two guy at Microsoft on yesterday. And he says, you know, here's what we talk about. We talk about Trump. Every single one of the business leaders I have on, they're not talking about green stuff. They're talking about making a profit. They're talking about actually trying to invest their assets to increase the productivity of their workforce and of the workforce as a whole so that they can be more profitable.
It's as if President Trump then coming in and doing what he does then has freed them from the self-imposed Marxist chains of the past, a couple of decades?
It's like he came in with a sledgehammer and he broke the climate change Marxist chains. In their entirety. And, you know, the one guy was one of the interviewers, I don't remember who it was, but came in and said something that was pretty significant. He said, you know, I'm talking to all these European companies and European leaders, and they're saying, we need to follow Trump. We need to get with it or we're going to be dead. We're going to be, and that breaking up the, I mean, because Europe is a stranglehold of regulations. The European
Union. Yeah, you think we have bad regulations. Look at the European Union.
They tell a country like Greece, so you, even though you can grow potatoes, you're not allowed to grow potatoes because potatoes are assigned to, you know, somebody else to grow in the in the European Union. I mean, it is that absurd. And so, you know, if you want to grow potatoes in Greece, you're out of luck. It's a, you know, so they are, they control every aspect of your life because, you know, Europe never, apart from England, they Europe never really had a Magna Carta. They never had a constitution. They were kind of always vassal, kind of, they were always kingships and stuff like that.
They are used and comfortable with totalitarian aspects.
They are used to being told what to do.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's a, and so, but they're sitting there, we got to break this up to be able to compete and be able to make a profit. And it is a, and so you have people like Germany who hate Trump, you know, the Chancellor of Germany or the new person of Germany hates Trump. But you know what? He's got a problem because they need to sell BMWs and Volkswagens in America. So he's got a problem. They need a, they need Trump to sit there and continue to fund NATO so they don't have a Russia problem. And so they're looking around. They say, we've got a big problem here. And it's, and they're going to make a decision whether they rise or fall. They're going to make their own decisions. Bottom line is America's not, you know, America's going to lead. But we're going to lead by breaking chains. We're going to lead by opening doors. We're going to lead by saying, if you're going to, if you're, you know, if you're going to participate in this world economy, you know, you have to let us sell our stuff into Europe, and then and we'll consider moving some tariffs off of you. Mm-hmm. But as long as you're putting a 50% tariff on American goods being sold in Europe, so we can't sell Fords in Paris, as long as you're doing that. You know, we're not going to let you sell Peugeots in America. Not that anybody buys those, but that's another story.
Yeah, I think Peugeot left. But, that would be wrong. But yeah, I get the point, though. I get the reference.
I'm trying to go as French car maker, okay? Yeah. It's only one.
How about Fiat?
Fiat's the Italian.
Yeah, there we go.
But yeah, but we get along with the Italian prime minister, so she's one of the good guys right now, for now. The bottom line is it's, we're seeing in a week – Trump broke the world in terms of the way they view things, and Europe's going to have a bilateral, you know, kind of a bilateral decision. They're going to have to say, are we in the arms of China, dependent upon China? Are we going to stand on our own 2 feet and be allies of the United States? And that's a choice which I don't get to make for them, and they, you know, they have to make for themselves. You know, he's announced that we're going to do the Monroe Doctrine again and use words like manifest destiny, which just astonished me.
Oh, I'm sure that academia's heads are exploding as we speak,
well,
even.
And too bad. Mm-hmm. It's a didn't say, oh, that was terrible. No, he used the term as it was a great thing, as a vision. And when you're talking about Canada being the 51st state, you use the word manifest destiny in about the same proximity. You know, I'm not all into the old Henry Clay, let's attack Quebec idea, but it's, but you know, you look at the Greenland thing.
Yeah, my concern is I don't know if I really want to take on Canada. Maybe the conservative side. I just don't think we need any more hardcore socialists because they're true believers for the most part up there.
I understand if you leave Toronto, Montreal, Quebec,
Vancouver
out.
Yeah, Vancouver.
In Vancouver, but you're going to have Vancouver, you know, because that's on the west, but the oil producing places in Canada would be far better served by being, you know, being here. Now maybe if we can trade them Vermont, and they can we'll trade them Vermont.
So we'll give them Bernie Sanders, huh?
We'll give them Bernie Sanders.
That's funny. I just like that. And then he can go over there and he can fight the corporations and the rich. We can fight the rich over there in Canada. All right. So needless to say, things have it just kind of broke through. We want to talk about cutting through, breaking through, chains being broken off. And here is I'm kind of wondering, how do you think this will play out on some forlorn socialist state such as the state of Oregon? OK.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, everything I'm getting out of the state legislature and is that we are going to resist Trump. We're going to resist everything. Everything's about resistance. Even City of Ashland this week is making a big deal because they're going to ban charge you lots of money if you want to install a natural gas furnace, you know, that kind of thing, because we're going to save the climate in spite of the fact that Trump has, in essence, canceled the Green New scam. And we're going to look at all of this. Now, Oregon survives on a lot of pass-through money coming from the state of Oregon. I think about a third of the budget, last time I recall, is coming from federal government pass-through programs. I have been a critic of a lot of this because we have lost a lot of our ability to control ourselves. But, of course, Oregon was happy to be controlled by Marxists through Washington, D.C. policy.
Right.
Is Trump going to be able to break Oregon's Marxist holds using that same money and the money trail? What do you think about that? How might that work for us?
That's a great question. I think the focus on sanctuary cities is going to be perhaps the most important focus in terms of this federalism relationship. Because ultimately, if there's been a court fight and Jeff Sessions attempted to fix this, and I think they lost in court at a lower level, mm-hmm. and that kind of just went away. But if the federal government has the capacity to say, if you're not willing to participate and cooperate with federal law related to deportation of people who are illegal and criminal, okay, that's the key, illegal and criminal. If you're sitting there saying we're going to hide people, we're going to hustle people out the back, and we're going to charge them with misdemeanors rather than felonies in order to try to protect them from deportation, if you become an active enemy of federal policy and of protecting our country, what do we have a responsibility to provide law enforcement funds to your state? And the answer is no. Taxpayers shouldn't have their money used to thwart, federal policy. Mm-hmm. Now, the fact is, in the past, we end up with a 55-mile-per-hour speed limit because transportation funds were used, threats of withholding transportation funds.
Yeah, it wasn't that they actually set the speed limit, but if you were going to take the grant stream funding,
you needed to do 55 miles per hour.
And that's what they do.
Montana got it, and Eastern Oregon, or Western Oregon, I guess Eastern Oregon got mm-hmm. it. But ultimately, seatbelt laws, same exact thing. And so it's reasonable to say that if you can use transportation funding as a means for coercion, then you have to be able to use law enforcement funding as a means for coercion. And similarly, you should be able to use education funding as a means for coercion. The left uses those funds all the time to coerce policies out of states, all the time. And for us to not do the same would be, quite honestly, it would be irresponsible. So,
agreed.
All in all, now.
So do you see this actually happening at the agency level?
I have to be careful here, Bill. Let me backtrack. Okay. Sometimes the title of my group contradicts what I say. This is not an Americans for Limited Government policy. This is me thinking out loud.
Okay.
It is a challenge, but I will tell you how I rationalize it. The Constitution is agreed upon by the 50 states. And in the constitutional, in the agreement, there is a division of what states should do and what federal government should do. And so long as the federal government is effectively doing a lot of the things the state should do, then you have to have some uniformity related to that. They use that in terms of utilities. They use it in terms of the left uses this power with abandon. And until we actually reestablish a true federal-state relationship where states are actually performing functions that constitutionally states should do and the federal government is staying with these they should do, the federal government has a right to protect its interests. On the immigration front,
that is a federal interest. It's a federal interest constitutionally, and states do not have a right to subvert it. And so, hence, withholding funds on the federal level from the states to subvert the immigration process is constitutionally viable from a limited government perspective.
What about prosecuting Oregon officials? And I'm going to bring up, I was talking with Joe Gazzardi, who's an immigration analyst, has been doing this for a long, long time. And I was talking to him yesterday about it, and he brought up a couple of laws, 8 U.S.C. 1373 and 1644. And they state that no state or local government may prohibit or in any way restrict local officials from communicating with federal immigration authorities about a person's immigration status. And yet Oregon's official policy, because of sanctuary state law, is that these same officials would be in trouble with the state government if they were to do so. So what do you think about Trump's administration prosecuting officials that try to thwart this?
I would pick an official that wasn't in the Ninth Circuit because I'd want to have an answer before 3 years from now.
Oh, okay.
So
it's not, that's not going to happen in Oregon. That's not going to be a battle you do here. Okay.
All that means is I might pick somebody who's a Minnesota official, maybe a governor.
Oh,
okay. Or something like that. Because you want a court, a federal court of appeals that is, you've got a better chance of winning at. Hmm. And unfortunately, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, when Trump left, it was 50-50. But over the past 4 years, it's been refortified. So you really want to have, you want to try to find a defendant who you're not going to have to pray that you get to the Supreme Court and win there. So you've got to have the right appellate court division to be in.
All right. I understand why then you wouldn't want to do it out in California, Oregon, Washington. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Or Hawaii.
Oh yeah. Hawaii too. Hawaii's a lost cause as far as I'm concerned. But what about then, I'm doing a lot of whataboutism, and I hope you don't mind. But
sure. No,
you
know, that's fine.
You've been around there, and you've been within the administration, so you understand how that game is played here. Rick Manning, once again, president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. What about the issue? Trump more or less smashed the transgender, LGBTQ, Island of Misfit Humans agenda being pushed through the schools here, and now, Oregon, this is like a state religion in the Oregon Department of Education right now. But the state of Oregon takes a lot of money from the federal government for education, I would imagine. And is that going to be an easy thing to flush out, to flush out these roaches that are kind of like buried within the entire educational system? DEI and transgenderism, and everything.
Getting rid of the DEI offices is a good start.
Okay.
And truthfully, they're not going to all be identified as DEI, and hence it becomes much more difficult. But in terms of the Department of Education, there's a challenge. And if they decide they're going to spend their time, quote unquote, getting rid of the Department of Education, rather than using the Department of Education and the funds they provide as a means to end this insanity that's going on in our schools.
Because the leftist-controlled Department of Education has been beating conventional people with common sense values about the head for decades now.
Correct.
Decades.
And so the challenge that you have, and I'm just going to give you the deconstruction challenge of the Department of Education. If you focus on converting the Department of Education away from being a crazy left advocate to basically clearing out all the debris, all the detritus of people who have been pushing this junk since Obama, at least. The things they were doing in the Obama administration were just incredibly upsetting. And those people are all burrowed in, and you essentially have those people running amok in the Biden administration then. But it was so this isn't new. The question is, and those people are knowable. Those people are you can identify them, and you can move them out. You can take where these directives have been coming from, and you can move the people behind it out. you can basically say, if you can't fire them, you can say, fine, you have a job in the newly created Department of Education office in,
Missoula, Montana.
International Falls. International Falls.
Even better. Even better, so International Falls.
I don't want to screw up Montana by putting them there. I'll put them in Minnesota. So that's you can kind of do that. If you eliminate the Department of Education, you're going to spend your time doing the following. The Department of Education gives out billions of dollars. They manage student loans. They've got a lot of stuff. You're not getting rid of the functions of the Department of Education per se. You might be limiting them, but all the grants, the Republican idea of doing block grants to states, requires somebody to give the block grants. And so you have this problem where you now are breaking these different sections up and putting them into different parts of the government. And so you don't really get rid of the problem of the Department of Education. You merely disperse it to other departments in government where it's less easy to identify and find. And so in some respect,
so as much as we love the idea of breaking and just destroying the Department of Education,
I want to break it's a two-part breakage.
Yeah.
I want to break the backs of the people who are doing the bad things with the money first. And then I want to put those functions, much more narrow functions, into other places. I want to put student loans back out in the public sector, in the private sector, or even quasi-public, like Sallie Mae used to be. But there's things you can do to kind of limit the Department of Education's impact, and then break it up once you figured out, these bureaucrats.
You have to destroy some of the Borg, then, is what you're saying. Okay.
It's just the order. It's the order that you do it in. But right now, Donald Trump has a 4-year term. He doesn't have time to go through a 10-year process. He's got to take sledgehammers to things. And the sledgehammer he wants to take is not. You want to destroy the foundation of the edifice before you try to take down the edifice. And so take the foundation, destroy the capacity, use the capacity of the monetary capacity to direct the department, the Oregon. You will not be doing this. You will. And First Amendment rights for, in schools and stuff like that. You basically take them and you shove, using the 250th anniversary of our country, down their throats, a actual liberal arts view of America that's positive to America. You destroy the anti-America education systems by focusing on 2026 and that opportunity. There's so many things like that can be done. If we're fighting or if we're chipping away, swinging a sledgehammer at a marble stone, at a big marble building, we'll put a few dents in it, but we're never going to get it. If we hollow out all the bad people, and we start having it use those monies to do good things. At that point, the defenders of the edifice go away because it's not being used against them. At which point, it's a heck of a lot easier to take it down.
That's a good way of looking at that. Hey, Rick, I appreciate the take on it. Like I said, every day, the one thing I will say though is that most of the time when I hear the national news now, I'm not sitting there going, ugh.
I have to tell you, they're being inside. This is just, once again, being inside. There are some things that are happening that they just make me cringe. Okay, even in the Trump world. Okay, because some of the people and some of the backgrounds of different things that have happened, and that's the wrong person. But by and large, he has. The people who control the money scared to death. He got $500 billion, $500 billion dedicated to AI, some AI development. Now, Musk says they don't have the money. We'll find out if they have the money. They'll have to raise it just like everybody else does. But we got pretty big people saying we're going to put $500 billion into this over 4 years. he got another $600 billion pledge to invest in America. He is changing the entire context of how the world views this country and reasserting our place, rightful place in the world. And, you know, so I have to tell you, I don't think I've ever seen one person have such a profound impact. And unlike the first term, when they all shunned him and said, we're going to do everything we can to stop him, when you have Zuckerberg and the Google dude sitting there, you know, basically at the saying, this guy's actually on our side on some stuff because they know they have to beat China. When you have that, you know what those guys aren't going to do? They're not going to be telling me that, oh, you can't have your little, what you're saying on your website is, you know, can't happen. And B of A is not going to sit there and say anymore, oh, we're not going to, if you're a gun shop, we're not going to let you have an account with B of A. We're not going to let you transfer. And, you know, those are fundamental things. We're breaking the chains that were put in place by Obama, followed by Biden, on the banking industry and the like. And they're going to get to the bottom of who put those chains in place. And those people are going to get blown out.
And let me just ask you briefly. We need hearings, though, still, right? I mean, I know you always want to look forward, but yet I'm concerned that if there are not some form of punishment, even if it's just embarrassing the science with a little trademark sign next to it, and actually flush out truly just all the skullduggery and corruption that was put out there, they'll do it again if they ever get back in power, won't they?
Yeah, we have to do, and this is the sad truth. It's going to be very hard to get a lot done in Congress. We don't have a functional majority. But what we have to do is we have to look at this election as a starting point of a 12-year process. And we have to figure out in what we do how to win in 2028. Everything we do in 2026 is important also, but because that keeps Trump from being impeached. But ultimately, it's about 2028. Because executive orders are interesting, but not that relevant if they're 4-year things.
If they're only 4-year things, the real thing is that you need to have more legislative underpinning of what you want.
To have eight, you know, if you get 8 or 12, they become normative. And the legislature then is asked to effectively codify something that's not radical, but is considered normal. And that is much easier to do on big picture things. So we need an administration that's able to lead for more than 4 years. And that is, and I'm not endorsing anybody, but the logical person to do that stance, somebody doesn't throw up all over himself. And that's how you long term break what's been put in place for 40 years. You can't break it in 4. You need a longer term to do so.
So we just look at the second Trump administration as the beginning of the 12-year process.
It's
okay.
The beginning of the 12-year process, absolutely.
All right. Taking a long view, kind of like what the Democrats did with their march. Okay.
What a crazy idea.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Rick, thanks so much over at DailyTorch.com. We'll be back in touch and be well and take a break this weekend maybe. Okay.
Yeah, no chance.
Yeah,
thanks, man.
I know.
Bye.
KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass.